Now, 1970 was a much different Australia than today. Pope Paul VI popped down for a visit. The Great Barrier Reef was fighting off mining attempts. And Gough Whitlam was gaining momentum. Also, a famous magazine was being born, a famous surfing magazine. Trax magazine, the Surfer's Bible, published its first edition in October 1970, exactly 50 years ago this month. Not afraid to take on the wider topics of the day, Trax was first and foremost about the wave, the lifestyle, and the counterculture that was surfing at the time. Quite remarkably, Trax remains in publication to this very day. Here to share a little of this extraordinary journey is the current Trax editor, Luke Kennedy. Luke, we're stoked to have you on 2SER. How are you?
Yes, excited to be the custodian of such an incredible title at the end of 50 years.
I know.
So, yeah, it is a real milestone.
It is a huge milestone. And I was just saying to you, you're going to have a big bash, but then like COVID, so you totally can't.
I think there'll be sort of, you know, various editors and people involved with the Trax history celebrating independently.
Sure. Yeah, cool. So 50 years ago this month, Trax was born. Can you tell us what was the genesis of this great magazine?
Well, the genesis was really three creative individuals. You had Albie Fousen, John Witzig, and David Elphick. And John was a fantastic photographer and writer. Albie was a photographer and filmmaker, and David Elphick was actually the editor of, or the manager of, a music magazine at the time, and he was a very erudite sort of figure. All of them had a finger on the pulse of this emerging subculture of surfing that was really hungry for something to express the counterculture movement that they felt that they were a part of. And kind of this unique chemistry between these three individuals is what really gave birth to Trax. There's also, perhaps some people suggest, there was a bit of a sub-agenda for David Elphick and Albie Fousen, because they had this fantastic film project that they were working on the side, which became Morning of the Earth, which for surfers and sort of even went beyond surfing into the mainstream. And it was still one of the most successful Australian films ever made. And they kind of used Trax at the time as a little bit of a springboard for that film project.
And so where was Trax distributed back in 1970?
Well, the original office was a classic house on Whale Beach. So that's where it all began, right on the water with an office overlooking the surf at Whale Beach. And then it was still distributed, I think, sort of nationally at the time, and it was put on newsstands. And what they had to do with the first issue was actually fold it in half so that it would fit on the newsstands to be featured out the front.
Oh, wow. Why? Because it was just so big, was it?
Well, it was, yeah, it was that A3 print model.
Oh.
And they were worried that it wouldn't be featured outside the newsagents. So there's actually a long-standing debate over what was on the cover.
Yeah.
So when it was folded, it's one cover, but when it's folded out, it's kind of a different cover.
It's a different cover.
So unfortunately, Chris Brock was actually technically on the first cover of Trax, and he gets the bragging rights as the surfer Chris Brock. But a lot of people remember the famous photo of the Newcastle Steelworks, which actually appeared on the other cover.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing. And so what would someone have been reading about in Trax back in the 70s?
So it really tapped into the surfing as a counterculture movement at the time. I think one of the great things about Trax in the 70s is that there were no boundaries really in the editorial. If you wanted to talk about sort of, you know, really left field philosophies, you could. If you wanted to discuss surf travel, which was a really big part of it, Trax sort of launched 1,000 surfing dreams in Indonesia with the release of Morning of the Earth, which took surfers to Indonesia, then also featured it in the magazine. So travel and travel adventure was always a big part of the magazine. Then he had some sort of really detailed stuff that relates to surfers specifically, you know, what surfboards they were riding, design innovation. And he also had these fantastic surfer profiles on, you know, these emerging characters who actually became like sort of deified surfing figures through the pages of Trax. You know, that's where people found their heroes and found their icons. And then about midway through the 70s, you had this major shift where surfing became a professional sport in 1976. And Trax sort of debated, you know, do we want to follow surfing as a professional sport or is it just a lifestyle? But then it kind of really had the two dimensions. It really followed closely the evolution of the professional surfing circuit from 1976 onwards.
And so how are you guys, how have you survived in this very competitive and contracting media market?
Look, I think we've just stuck to, you know, the philosophy and the blueprint that existed in that original issue, which I was just flicking through yesterday. It's kind of, you wanted to go for really progressive and innovative writing. You wanted great photos, unique and progressive design elements. And perhaps most importantly of all is trying to preserve what you might call that larrikin Australian spirit. Trax has always given surfers, and certainly even, you know, for a time was read by non-surfers, a permission to have fun.
How do you feel so, like, do you guys have a social media? Like, has social media kind of played into your survival, do you think?
Well, Trax, as it exists now, is obviously very different to its original form.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously now we've got a digital side, we've got a website, we've got an Instagram account, and, you know, still publishing a magazine. So you kind of, you're a beast with many heads, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
And you try to use all those various entities to feed back into the magazine.
Yeah. What are some of the big stories that you've covered?
Personally, I think, you know, a lot of the, being sort of at the helm of the magazine when professional surfer Andy Irons passed away, that was kind of a real big moment for surfing. It's a really difficult one to grapple with because you had one icon who just passed away and then another one, Kelly Slater, who was also his rival, had won another world title. And so you kind of had these sort of something to really celebrate and then something that was quite tragic simultaneously. And I remember sort of saying, well, who goes on the cover? And we went with Andy Irons in that particular incident. So that was really sort of a big moment in surfing. I think sort of always when you're celebrating a world title victory for an Australian surfer, it's quite a big event. I think celebrating the world title victories of Steph Gilmore has been really exciting because he's actually been on the cover a couple of times.
Yeah.
And is actually one of, one of the better sellers on the cover of Trax as well.
Yeah, interesting. That's cool.
So, you know, at times we've been chided or criticised, I think, for not featuring women enough. And sometimes that criticism's fair, but we've definitely featured the girls. And particularly in the last sort of 5 to 10 years, it's also, if you've been willing to sort of, you know, check the bylines, we've actually featured a lot of writing and, a lot of photography by women contributors.
Yeah.
And actually one of the women who was writing a regular column for us over the last 3 years recently was nominated for a Vogels Award for her literature. So, you know, it's definitely been, it's about involving a lot of different creative people to produce the publication, for sure.
Yeah. And last question before I let you go, what's Captain Good Vibes up to these days?
Well, I can tell you that he's definitely making a comeback for the 50th anniversary issue.
Yes. Oh, Luke, that is awesome. Thank you so much for your time, hey. And we hope you get that 50th birthday party somewhere in there.
Yeah, we'll be celebrating in some form, that's for sure.
Awesome. Hey, have a great day.
Thanks, Willie.